Turning some attention today to the questions that will appear on the ballot that they will be handed on Election Day in November. Carol Connolly of the Christian Civic League of Maine. We're looking specifically at question number 2 this morning, sir?
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. And I was just telling George off air, unexpectedly, we were not planning on getting involved in question 2. We were focusing on question 1 this time around.
But this one's not about the York Casino. This one is about the expansion of MaineCare?
Exactly.
Well, the ballot question, I know where what you're going to talk about, but the ballot question, like so many ballot questions, doesn't mention anything you want to talk about. It basically says you want to expand Medicaid to provide health care coverage for qualified adults under the age of 65 with incomes at or below 138% of the federal poverty level. Now, that means $16,643 for a single person, $22,412 for a family of two. Nowhere in there does it say anything about what you want to talk about.
That's correct. And we were, as far as Medicaid expansion or anything like that, that is not within our purvey. You know, as a citizen, privately, I may have some ideas about that. But we did not think that we would be involved in this in any way, shape, or form until we had the summary statements and judgment in regard to the ACLU representing Planned Parenthood against Janet Mills regarding the Hyde Amendment restrictions. And again, I know this kind of gets into the weeds, but Maine, like the vast majority of states in this country and in line with federal law, does not allow for public funding of abortions with the exception of the life of the mother, rape, and incest. The ACLU is now trying to basically get rid of the Hyde Amendment in the state of Maine. If they succeed and question 2 passes, then we are gravely concerned that Mainers who object to abortion on demand will be forced to do something they've never done before, and that is pay for those abortions that are beyond the scope of the Hyde Amendment.
Okay, so now this really is into the weeds. Taxpayer money, money coming out of my pocket, your pocket, his pocket, her pocket, could be going into a big account, and from that account could be drawn money to fund abortions in the state of Maine?
Yes, and the connection is this, that, you know, the Planned Parenthood and abortion providers, you know, they believe in this service. You know, I don't agree with it, but they also often said that an impediment to low-income women getting abortions is their economic issue. So therefore, if you expand the base of number of people that are eligible for Medicaid, one of the medical procedures that is covered is abortions. Presently, that would cover just, like we said, life of the mother and also rape and incest. With these two coming converging together, you would not only have more people that qualify for abortions, but you would have abortions that never have been funded.
Just for clarification, because this isn't something I deal with on a regular basis. Back in 1976, the Hyde Amendment was passed.
Correct.
And this blocks federal Medicaid funding for abortion service. Now, since 94, there have been some narrow exceptions added to the Hyde Amendment. When continuing the pregnancy, as you indicated, endangers a woman's life, or when the pregnancy results from rape or incest. So Medicaid cannot cover abortion even when a woman's health is at risk and a doctor recommends that she get an abortion under the Hyde Amendment. Now, did I make any mistakes there?
Right on. Of course, that's federal money that you're talking
federal
about.
Money.
Most states follow those guidelines.
Right.
And that's the rub with the ACLU and Planned Parenthood now. So, and I just want to mention that, you know, this is such a contentious issue, but the Marist report came out in 2016, again on this. 62% of Americans, even those that would use the term pro-choice, believe that there should be restrictions like the Hyde Amendment. As a matter of fact, when you mentioned the specific restrictions that the Hyde Amendment has, 80%, 8 out of 10 Americans believe that this restriction should be there. So this is not some small, you know, radical pro-life organization that is, you know, just making something of nothing. This is something that the vast majority of Mainers and people in the United States support. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it's intertangled or entangled with, you know, something like question 2. But this is an absolute important issue. You know, the life issues are one of our very top issues at the league. And we have no choice but to let folks know that when you vote, you need to be at least aware of this and make your decision.
Why are we just hearing about this now? Why has this not come up?
Well, we frankly didn't see it, Rick. I actually was contacted by an outside group when the summary statements came out in the court case that I referenced, and I do want to say that we are thankful that the Attorney General has aggressively defended against the ACLU, even though Attorney General Mills and I and the office might not always agree. They have recognized this is longstanding court-tested law that the vast majority of Americans agree with. So we're thankful for that is occurring. But it was the convergence of these two things, Rick, that brought it to our attention.
And it makes it contentious, and it makes it difficult, to be perfectly honest, with some people. You're going to get a yes or a no vote. We've been talking about referendums all morning, off and on again. You're going to get a yes or a no. You're either going to vote to support the Medicaid expansion, or you're going to say no. And that's it. So you're going to see signs. We're talking about signs along the roadway. Hmm. You're going to see vote yes or vote no. That's it.
Right. And so that's, you know, that's the difficult part of these. Many times the no are in the minority and have a difficult amount of resources and so on. So, you know, that's what an activist group does. We send out our emails. We're thankful for the opportunity to talk on programs like this about these issues. But it's more a grassroots. Certainly, we're not able to use the large television buys and, you know, those type of things that that you will see. And I can honestly say, I hope that we do not sound uncaring. You know, I've got friends that actually still are broadly and want to see Question 2 passed, and they're so frustrated with our involvement in this. And I understand where their hearts are, what they're trying to accomplish. But for an organization like this, this is an absolute high priority. And frankly, we know it's a high priority for a lot of people in Maine.
Do you have a prediction as we are 1, 2, 3 weeks away from Election Day?
You know, Rick, I really don't. I haven't had any funding on this. And, you know, really, this is, I've been talking about on my radio program on some of the Christian radio stations. This is the first opportunity we've had to talk about.
See, there he goes,
it.
Promoting another radio station on our show, George.
Stations.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
No prediction for what's ahead?
I really don't. I can say, and I don't mean this mean-spirited, I'm really surprised that, you know, the little old Christian Civic League is getting so much attention about this. So that does tell me that the people that are felt pretty confident about this are very concerned about the fact that we are raising this issue. And so I'm hopeful that we're able to raise it to the point that people can at least make an intelligent decision. It'd be too bad for someone to go in and flip the switch one way or the other with really totally understanding what they're voting for.
Yeah. Your mind gets, I get clogged up with everything that's going on here.
Join the club.
Yeah. Those who are in favor of it say it's going to expand Medicaid to around 70,000 people. The Maine Department of Health and Human Services then has to present a plan to the Department of Health and Human Services for approval within 90 days, all of this. And they have 180 days to adopt rules after that. And those who are against it say, hey, we can't afford this. We went down this road once before. We shouldn't be on this road again. There are those who say, yeah, it's going to cost a lot of money, but the government's going to take, you know, we know all those arguments. Now, you come in with really a third angle to
exactly
this, which some will agree with and some will not agree with.
And again, we're not necessarily trying to persuade people from one position to the other on the life issue. We're just letting folks know that this is the case. You know, they talk about the $750 million debt of the hospital and things like that. That is not a concern of the Christian Civic League of Maine. It simply isn't. And some people say, well, what would happen if Planned Parenthood and ACLU lose? Well, we still have a box that is being made bigger that is going to have more people in it. And frankly, I think our abortion providers want to have both ways. They say, well, it's not necessarily going to increase abortions. Then why are you pushing for more women to have the option to do it? If you increase the option, increase the funding, even if the lawsuit loses, then why are you fighting for it? You know,
I'm curious. George just said some will agree with, some won't agree with. And I understand that's the issue of abortion itself. Mm. But are we absolutely clear that a yes vote on question two will afford money out of taxpayers' pockets that will pay for abortions in our state?
It will increase the set of women that have the ability to have their abortions paid for. Then, Rick, in convergence with the court case, if the Hyde Amendment is taken away in the state of Maine and Planned Parenthood has their way in court in Maine Family Planning, then you will also not see the increase in the size of women that can afford can have the funding, but then you'll see abortions that have never been funded before beyond the life of the mother, beyond rape, and beyond incest.
So clarify me if I'm lost here. If, in fact, it passes, 70,000 more people, assuming that number is correct, get more, then it increases the pool.
Correct.
But then the court action on the Hyde Amendment, if that stays the same, then it doesn't increase the abortion.
It doesn't change the abortions that are funding. But again, if you had 70,000 people that couldn't afford, you know, or of course not all those are women, but you are increasing the number of women that qualify all to right. have their abortions.
I get your point.
And you assume if they can afford it, then they're probably going to do it when they didn't in the past.